Welcome back to part two of my conversation with 2020 presidential hopeful Admiral Joe Sestak. Here we start our discussion by looking back to 2016 and what then-candidate Donald Trump tapped into when it came to working American families, and more importantly, what Sestak says must happen moving forward in his administration.
They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
All right, let's take a look at another issue. Many times it's said that the current administration won because Mr. Trump was able to speak to individuals who felt that they were left behind, who had factories close on them. They call it the Rust Belt. Some call it now the Dust Belt. Because so many towns in Ohio, for example, are just decimated because unemployment rate, while in Iowa is ranking very low, in other places it's very high. What about secure jobs and livable wages?
Yes. First, there's two part there, and I'd like to take the first part
Sure.
about what Mr. Trump did, because I think the biggest issue right now is these wonderful Americans were sitting there going through the desolation of their livelihoods you mentioned. But what they also saw was politicians who voted for a tragic misadventure in Iraq, and as it metastasized, created ISIS, that has left two decades of unaccountable consequences for us in the Middle East that we're still paying for. Then they also saw politicians who tore down the wall in Wall Street and let greed go in. And this was over time. And they see then all of a sudden their livelihoods, just like you said, were devastated by that. I know we kept our office in my constituency building open 7 days a week to 9 o'clock every night to deal with the carnage from the livelihoods of them. We had no choice because we did save over almost 1,000 homes, and we helped people who lost their health care because they missed payments to get it back. So here's what they saw before Mr. Trump spoke. They saw that not one politician, not one Democrat or Republican, has ever said, I'm going to be accountable for myself on my bad vote, on what I did. No one answered for themselves to be accountable. And then all of a sudden, they saw 450 congressmen and senators take lobbying jobs in the last 20 years, and their income was risen 400%. And here they're losing their jobs and saying, what's going on? So you had someone who was a false prophet come in, Mr. Trump, and said, we're going to drain the swamp. And it hasn't happened.
No, it has.
But I tell everybody, Mr. Trump is not the problem. He's the symptom of a problem of lack of trust in those who weren't accountable and basically in Washington made bad decisions and then went off and reaped the rewards and lobbyists. So what needs to be done to your second part of your question? You need a leader who actually is willing to work with both sides and bring us together in order to, A, first off, have secure jobs by the following two means. Number one, we need training for a lifetime. So here in Iowa, as we're beginning to have unmanned tractors, and before they're individually owned, okay, if you have 10, that means you only need one now to run all the other 10. Well, what happens to the other 9? What happens to the coal miner when he or she loses their job? In the military, we don't kick them out of a job. We have training for a lifetime. You come in, the F-15 that you're trained on, 10 years later, they closed down the F-15, said, we're now in F-22s. We send you to a community college, the Air Force Community College, and you learn another skill, you reacquire a skill. We spend less in this nation than any developed country, Michael, on labor training, 0.001% of gross domestic product. It's abysmal. And so what you need first is a commitment. I understand about college loans. I have two other ways to address that than just saying, oh, forget them, you know. But we can take care of the engine of our economy, our labor force, by commitment, public-private, to this. Why? Because one-third of small businesses say they can't find the skilled workers. And that gets to my second point, small businesses. Majority of Americans work in small businesses. Today, for every 10,000 Americans, 18 small businesses spring up for every 10,000, and they create 70% of all jobs. You go back to 1977, there were 36, half, and they still created 70% of all jobs. Why is our small business on the football field for only half the game creating jobs, 18 instead of 36? Well, here's why. The regulation cost on small businesses is 40% higher than big corporations.
And why is that?
Two reasons. Lobbying by the corporations. Those 450 senators and congressmen who took lobbying jobs come back and lobby to remove their regulatory oversight. And number two, people don't understand small business. I was vice chairman of small businesses. I asked to be there. And then when I got appointed vice chairman, I said, wow, I'm a freshman congressman. Said, well, you can have it if you want it, because nobody goes to small business because there's no PAC money. But here's the second reason. We actually pass laws that don't apply for regulation of small businesses. There are two things in my book to fix it. We got an office of about six lawyers that is supposed to go through all the regulations, and they do, but there's only six of them. They say billions of dollars, say that doesn't apply. And we're also a law that says before 1999, it was passed, before you pass a new regulation, you're supposed to ask small businesses to come to a forum as it's being developed and have a seat at the table to say why and how it shouldn't apply to a small business. We've done that one time. And second, I must say this, investment. When 80% of all venture capital is now in America in three cities, like San Francisco, how do you get startup money for a new farm? But we should do what Wisconsin has done. They give a 50% tax credit for any angel, so to speak, for a large, you know, not necessarily venture capital, but a smaller guy. Because sometimes you just need, like, a Bill Gates or somebody, a small little amount to start up. And they get the tax credit from it. And they quadrupled the number of small businesses from it. Very simple, very common sense. And here's what we don't do. We don't focus on the laborers, and we don't focus on small businesses. And yet, that's where the majority of our people work. And they should be the engines. And that's why you see that we can have good jobs and good pay, because if you're presenting twice as many small businesses, demand on wages goes up because everybody's right wants more people. But you know what? Down there, 450 congressmen and senators didn't hold themselves accountable and went off to get a lobbying job.
Joe Sestak, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about issues relative to the 2020 presidential race. Let's talk about health care for just a moment. With all of the candidates, there are all sorts of iterations about what we're going to do with health care in the United States. As the major industrial nation in the world, we're still wrestling with this healthcare debacle that is, frankly, we read about it all the time, is responsible for so many bankruptcies of families, going out of businesses, and with insurance rates continuing to climb. I talk to small businesses all the time. They say, well, you know, Michael, we're getting hit 15%, 20%, 23% rate increases for healthcare insurance every single year. It's unsustainable. Talk to me about healthcare.
Well, healthcare was the reason I got into Congress. My daughters, I ran that refrain. I'm a retired Navy admiral, and I'm running National Security because I'm health security. But I also know that there's a lot of lack of faith by, as we mentioned, of people in a plan put out by a politician today for the reasons we just discussed. And so, as you saw when the Affordable Care Came Act, there was a lot of, whoa, is this going to work? What needs to be done is the following. Set out the goal and say, here's the milestones you can measure if we're making it. That's what we do in the military. You set out, here's the strategy, and we have milestones. So if they're not working, you adjust them, but they're transparent and people know. So what I propose is the following. I believe we need to fix the Affordable Care Act that is torn apart, and actually for the first 3 years of it was reducing on the Silver Plan premiums where they had were to be almost below double digits for the first time. They were below double digits first time, but they started getting ripped apart. So here's what we need to do. First, we need to fix it, and then we need a public option, which I voted for when I was in Congress for one reason, and the Senate, of course, couldn't stand up to the pressure of the health insurance companies, so they rolled. But if we had it, a public option, it would have been a marker to where you could see people could join as a basket of choice. And if it did prove itself, lower cost, more efficient access to better medicine. Everybody would have eventually been moving towards it, but it's a marker of milestones to see if it's working towards an eventual single payer, because here's why. Is the goal realistic? Not unless you mark to see how it's being done. But the VA has two parts to it, and people ask three, but the two I want to talk about, and people need to understand it when the VA gets beat up often. There's the VBA, benefits. That's the problem. It can take you a year or two to get your benefits approved by the bureaucracy. I know. That's why we had a constituency office open at 9 o'clock every night to help many who were in that recession from Vietnam, Korea, even World War II vets never asked to have benefits but then had to. But once you get into the VHA, the New England Journal of Medicine, RAND Corporation, have all looked at the 11 indicators, major indicators of health care, and everyone has said the VA is equal or greater. And it's got problems, everyone, and so does the Mayo Clinic, that had very fast medical. But it's equal better than any private health care system in America, including Medicare and Medicaid public. So you can eventually, you can see it can work, but let's get towards that, because 255 million Americans are in some form of private health care. Medicare, Medicare Advantage, one-third of them are on private health care. And so I am, even though I was ex-military, Humana runs our plan. And so when my daughter had brain cancer, if you had ripped my health insurance out at that moment, in 2 years I would have said, what? They're the same doctors that saved her once. Treat Americans well in when you try to care for them. And that's very important. It may be the right idea, but you better make sure that they are incentivized by it, not mandated, unless it needs to be for a very something like a war or something on it.
So that healthcare option, let me see if I can break this down. Similar to what we have currently with Medicare, there is a public insurance opportunity for healthcare, and then individuals also get to opt in for...
That is correct.
Yeah.
Is what you have a choice. And see how we constructed the Affordable Care Act. After 5 years, not only small businesses, but big employers could have put their people into it. It was meant to be an incentive because you created open, transparent competition where everybody had to meet the same standard. That is, if you have cancer, no longer, as there used to be in private health care plans, you get $300,000. My gosh, my daughter's drugs this last time for health, saving her life, was $300,000. I know because I had to pay for them because they denied it initially, the private health care company did, until I appealed it. And so what you want is every, I mean, that was a cost of it, but sometimes they limit you at that mark. So have the right type of approach. Everybody, the competition, but then you have the public option, you know, a loan that has to be repaid back to the government, set it up like the VA, doctors by the government. And then that will prove, if it is the right thing, like VA, that it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because it proves itself. I mean, you know, why do people maybe choose the iPhone? Well, it's proven that these be more attractive to a lot of people than the others. That doesn't mean the others aren't good, but eventually, if this one is less expensive and better access, it grows to be the entire pool.
Joe Sestak, ladies and gentlemen, I've got two final questions for you, sir. You talked a little bit about drug prices. Drug prices, insulin, for example, has gone up 300% in the recent times. There are now Americans that are taking caravans, if you will, across the border into Canada so they can get drugs. Just recently, there was an effort to have mandate price comparisons. That was set aside. What is the Sestak administration, what are you going to do about the increasingly high cost of prescription drugs for Americans?
Several things. And again, if I can earn the trust, because I've been accountable, both as a congressman and in the Navy, that people will trust me and we can work together, this is what must be done. We have to stop those caravans and just permit the less expensive drugs from Canada that are made by U.S. firms be permitted to come in. Now, they let it on very limited amounts in several states that are border. We got to make it all America. Why? Well, why are you selling them less up there than down here? Pharmaceuticals? If you're not, and then number two, what we need to do is do what the VA is allowed to do. We negotiate directly for best prices. So you can buy a drug at the VA for one-third the cost as Medicare or Medicaid can, because in 2003, another party than the Democratic Party mandated that there would be no direct negotiations for best price between our government, Medicare, and these pharmaceuticals. They got a free deal. No negotiations for best price. This is America. It's a capitalist system. And so, therefore, they can basically say, here's what it cost us to do it, and we want this amount of profit. And third, what we have to do is what the Trump administration just walked away from. If they're selling them in Europe for one-fifth to one-half the cost, you're going to be selling them here for the same. And they were going to try to show that in a trial, and then they backed away. Of course, the trial wouldn't have ended in 2023. The year before, you know. So my take on this is there's a numerous ways. One other issue I'd like to throw in, Michael, is mental health. Today we have the same number of psychiatric beds as we had in 1850. 80% of psychiatrists will not take anyone on private health care or any type of health care. You have to pay out of pocket. They can pick and choose. And our largest psychiatric hospitals, because of how we handled things the last 2 years, is the Riker Prison in New York and Los Angeles Prison. This is a major issue because it is the largest healthcare issue we have in America. The VA actually has, according to every study, the best integrated mental health care. Because when you walk in there, the mental health isn't in another building. It's in the right two offices down. So it's not like, well, listen, I want to see a medical. He says, let me walk you down and introduce you to somebody. It's amazing. Wonderful book called Wounds of War has gone through this. It was published last year that really shows you why you have a better way to deliver care to Americans than we're doing it today. I could talk. That's why I voted and worked hard on the Mental Health Parity Bill and others. But I just wanted to put that out there because the productivity of America would be so much better once we better address mental health.
Final question for you, Admiral. You got into this race late, not too very long ago, maybe a month ago or so. And I've had people say, well, how come he waited so long to get into this race? And you referenced your daughter. Tell us that story. What happened?
About a year ago, that demon came back, the same that had struck her at the age of four. Same glioblastoma in a different part of the brain. Doctors had never seen that because only survival rate single digit. So if it comes back, it's usually in the same place where it's been irradiated, and you can't do that again. So in a way, we were, if it had to happen, fortunate. It was in a different part of the brain. So that little warrior went through another battle and won. She's stronger than I am.
And she's how old now?
She's now 18.
Wow.
And has taught me much. When my wife was called from the doctor, because we still go through MRIs, because she's kind of a poster child that survived. But the doctor said, I'm sorry to tell you, it looks like it's back. My wife in tears called me. And I said, do you want me to tell her? She said, yes. So I walked her. Within Alex was go for a walk and told her. And I'll never forget when I told her. She was quiet for about a minute. And then she turned and said, Daddy, is it wrong? I'm not scared.
Wow.
And so, yes, I was delayed getting in. There's no way I was going to leave her bedside until she was up and running through the fields again. And last time I got in because I owed this country. It saved her with our health plan. You all, everybody listening, everybody gave me, citizens of America. But this time as I sat there alongside of her, I just am really worried that if we don't somehow bring us back together, America will not meet the challenges of our time. And if we don't, I think our time to ever get great again, and I mean great in our ideals, will not be able to be accomplished. This is our moment to have that happen, and so that's why I'm in the race this time. having just had the opportunity to sit there and watch my daughter sleeping from radiation. That's kind of how it came about. Mm.
Joe Sestak, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Admiral. We really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Once again, that was Admiral Joe Sestak, an announced 2020 presidential candidate in a rare two-part conversation about the issues he says matter to all Americans. We'll have links to Admiral Sestak's website up on our radio blog. Well, that concludes another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For Admiral Sestak and our entire crew, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.